This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
And that's Sukha Mem Tet Amud Bet. And it's not not into heavy lumdus tonight. It's just some light philosophic and Musa's Gemara, which is really nice. Right in the middle of the page of Nun Tet Amud Bet, a little bit above the middle. Tana de Beirav Anan. It's about a third of the way down the page towards the end of the line.
The Rosh Hava.
Tana de Beirav Anan. Have you got that? Tana de Beirav Anan. The house of Rav Anan led. My dichtiv, what does it mean in the posuk in Shir HaShirim, where the posuk says a strange verse, Chamukei Yerochech? It refers to the Torah as Chamukei Yerechaich, which different ways of translating it. Probably the most accurate way to translate it is the curve of your thigh. Lama nimshulu divrei Torah keyerech. Why, asks the Gemara, would the words of Torah be compared to a thigh? Lo malacho, to teach you, ma yerech beseter, af divrei Torah beseter. Just as the yerech, the thigh is always clothed, it's beseter, it's hidden, and yet there is an attractiveness to it, even though it's hidden, or in a way because it's hidden, so it is with Divrei Torah. So we're introduced to the idea of beauty and tzniut in the real word of the sense, but the word used here, seter, and Seter means hidden. What does Tzniut mean? What does the word Tzniut come from?
Tzanua.
And what is La Tznia?
Modest.
What does it mean literally? La Tznia, to hide.
To hide.
Also, Seter. So Seter is secret, and Tzanua is hidden. So in both those words, there's an element of what? What is the common denominator in the sense of something that is hidden?
Something there.
There is something there, and what else is there? What else is the word? What is the connotation of something secret and something hidden?
You need to reveal
to find it. So there's a sense of mystery, of attractiveness in mystery, rather than being revealed, and that's different from the word kisui. So we don't, when we talk about tzniut, We don't talk about kisui, that you must cover yourself. We don't say a woman must cover herself. We say she must be tzniut. There's a difference. Covering is not has nothing to do with attractiveness. Covering has nothing to do with mystique and mysteriousness and allure. Covering is just covering. But that's not what tzniut is. Tzniut and seter have elements of allure and mystery to them. And here in Shir HaShirim, you've got the imagery of the tzniut of a woman that in fact enhances her attractiveness being used as an image for Divrei Torah, for Torah as well. V'hainu de'omer Rabbi Elazar, and this is what Rabbi Elazar meant when he said, Mai dichtiv, higid lecho adom matov v'ma Hashem derech mincho. The posuk in Michal, where Michal kind of sums up, and he says in summary, it tells you what is good and what does Hashem want from you. And that's quite an amazing statement. The prophet, the Novi, is going to tell you what is good and what does Hashem want from you. What is it? What does Hashem want from us? Kiyim, or only the following. Asos mishpot, the ahavas chesed, to do mishpat and to love chesed. V'hatzne'a lechesem Hashem elokecha. And to do, and to walk in a way of tznius with Hashem. And then the Gemara analyzes it. Asos mishpat. What is asos mishpat? Zeh hadin. That is justice. The ahavas chesed, zu gemilus chasodim, and chesed is gemilus chasodim, is doing chesed. It doesn't just mean loving chesed, it means doing chesed. And that combination, it's not the one or the other, it's the synthesis of both, mishpat and chesed. Because if you look at some of the other major religions in the world, if you look at Islam, is all about din. It's all about justice. And Christianity is all about chesed. One of the beautiful things of Torah, of Yiddishkeit, is that synthesis, that balance. You can't do din if there isn't chesed, and you shouldn't do chesed if there isn't also din. There's the ability to work with both of them. It's the balance of chesed and din. It's not just din without chesed, and it's not just chesed without din. But in everything we do, there's chesed and there's din. There's correctness, there's righteousness. Righteous means it's right. It's correct, it's true. And also there's din. And also there's chesed. But added to that is v'hatzne'a lechesem Hashem elokecha. And do it with tznius. When you walk with Hashem, you do it in a way of tznius. And what is that? Zu hotzaat hamet v'achnasas kala l'chupa. The word leches, what does it mean, v'hatzne'a leches, go with Hashem in tznius? That word go is a word used in connection with marriages and funerals. The word is used, and therefore he learns from that the specific focus of Hatzne'a Leches is even in marriage and funerals. And then he makes a Kal Vachomer. V'halo Dvorim Kal Vachomer. Uma Dvorim Shidarkon La'asoyson Befarhesya. If those things which have to be done in public, such as funerals and weddings, those are public things. The idea is to have crowds. There's a mitzvah to have a lot of people, both at a wedding and at a funeral. Amra Torah Hatzne'a Leches. Even there, the Torah says you must do that with tznius. Dvorim Shidarkon La'asoyis Betzino Alachas Kama V'Kama. Things which are naturally done quietly, how much more so must that be done with tznius? Let's go through the Rashi on that, and then we'll talk about it a bit. The Rashi about halfway down the page, Chamuke Yerochaich, Hanistarim Keyerech, things that are hidden away like a thigh, Shekovod HaTero Betzino. It's an amazing statement, says Rashi. The honor of Torah is in tznius. One would think that the honor of Torah is to be very public and to be very open. No, the honor of Torah is Betzino. And not to be teaching Torah in the heights of the town, in the high places of the town. And not to give shurim in public places, in the marketplaces. There's a sugi in Moed Kotten that deals with this in more detail. And that's very contrary to the kind of society in which we live today, where COVID is of numbers and with public and all over the place. The Gemara tells us, no, the COVID of Torah is bitznius. What is that got to do with the COVID of Torah? Why would Rashi? I understand that there's what tznius is, but why COVID? Why is it more honor to teach Torah in private, in tznius, in a quiet place, than it is to teach it publicly? Why is that COVID, would you say?
Well, because you can concentrate better on it. You get more deeply into it because you're in a bunch of people and everything.
That's an important point which we're going to come to in general things, is the ability to focus on the depth of what one's doing in Torah and in other things that one can in a private place. But the COVID, why would there be more COVID in Torah? The One of the interesting things that's happened in the Torah world, which has got positive and negative, is the Torah has become a bit of an industry. It supports a lot of people. It's a business. There's Torah, there's the publishing of books, there's the manufacture of Torah items, tefillin and mezuzahs, and there are yeshivas. The yeshivas are a big industry today, in the sense that they employ a lot of people and that involves a lot of people. And one of the things that happened at the beginning of the Baal Tshuva movement in the 70s was, for the first time, students of Torah started to be looked at as customers. It was interesting. I was talking to the chiefs of police from across the country today, and I was talking to them about being cautious not to look at police departments as businesses. The trend is that we're also a business, and we've got customers, and we need customer service. You see, I think the LAPD on their cars. What did I say? Something
protect
about
and serve.
Protect and serve, that they've got this kind of a focus. There's been a focus on them, that they're a business, they're going to be run efficiently, they're going to have modern management methodology, they've got customers. And I was saying to them, in a sense, the healthcare business in the United States has turned itself into a business. Has that been good for us or bad for us? It's been terrible. Would you rather be a patient or a customer? There was a time where it was like that it was good to be a customer. You felt you had certain rights, and the authority that you I'm a customer, and you better take care of me. In the old days, it wasn't like that, was it? The doctor, the physician had a certain status. And I was saying to these police chiefs that, in a sense, yes, they've got to run efficient organizations and they've got to focus on their mission, but they're not a business. What happens if their customers stop paying them? They're not going to go bankrupt. They're going to be there whether or not they've got customers. They have a job much bigger than a business, much more important than a business. And healthcare is much more important than a business. But we've kind of elevated businesses to the highest form of human endeavor. And we've done the same with Torah, in a sense, because until the 70s, if a student wanted to study Torah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to get into a yeshiva. It wasn't easy to... There were not that many yeshivas. To get into a good yeshiva, you needed either to be really good or have some influence, or both. And then you got to a stage as it is today, where you've got Rabbonim coming to the United States to recruit. Isn't that right? They kind of have recruiting meetings. What does that mean, recruiting? That means both for girls' institutions and for men's institutions. That means, please come to my yeshiva. My yeshiva is the best for business. You have choice. I have a business, and I need you to come to my business. That's not Kovod HaTorah. That's not honor for the Torah. When the student has to be recruited, that's not honor for the Torah. When you're teaching in public, and what is the idea of mystery? What is the idea of being beseter, of being tzanua? You said you've got to go and look for it. You've got to go and reveal it. You've got to go and uncover it. When the student has to go searching for the Torah has covered.
Yeah, it's like what happens in sales, you know? A salesman asks people to, he calls people
right
to sell the product. So it's the reverse thing that happens. What he's saying really, you don't need my product. It's not as appreciated. I need to go after you for you to do.
That's why a salesman, in a kind of way, feels somewhat degraded. And that's why we've got to keep on motivating the sales force and telling them that
they're... What would it be that the customer would seek the product?
That's the ideal.
If you raise the price.
That's the ideal. So you could have a situation where... And why? Because there's more COVID. So if you have a situation where you don't need salespeople, and some business people who really get that and are able to do that, it takes a lot of skill and you have to be in the right place with the right product, are able to set their businesses up in such a way that... you almost feel like grateful that the person, that they're willing to sell you the product. That's the ideal. That's the best issue.
Two questions. One is what you're describing about sniut. It seems on the face of it similar to Asian philosophy or martial arts or any of those situations that are very, what's the word? They are hidden and people seek them. That's right. That's a closer resemblance.
Absolutely. And they're changing too. And they're upset about that change. So, for example, I was once looking for somebody to teach me a specific area of Eastern philosophy on a particular topic, and I wanted to go to somebody, and I was advised by one of these Indian experts that you can't go and learn to that person. He does it as a business. Don't you understand? He said to me, "That's the psul. The moment it's a business, it loses its value. It's not that you've got to find somebody who doesn't do it as a business." Who doesn't have a commercial interest in it. And that's why Torah originally was meant to be to have any kind of commercial interest. So this idea of the kovod is in tznius. The kovod is the honorable thing is when you seek it out. Remember, in the old days, you used to go to, banks didn't used to advertise. It was in the States as well, certainly in South Africa that was the case. In the old days, banks would never advertise. I think they weren't allowed to advertise.
Absolutely.
And if the bank manager saw you, and if he was agreed to give you a loan, you kind of felt, wow, you know what? The manager gave me a loan. And now you get these solicitations in the mail for credit all the time. So it's lost. There's no COVID. There's no COVID attached to it. And lawyers were not allowed to. So there was a diminishment of the professional stature. Whether it was good for business or bad, it's a different discussion. But the professional stature is to a degree diminished. When you start advertising in Torah and in Lithuania, the Lithuanian yeshivas, Telge was well known for that, would never allow any form of PR to go and recruit students or to put an advert in a newspaper or to a notice up in a shul that they're open for recruiting. It wasn't so. It was incredibly difficult to get in. You had to seek it out. You had to convince them that you were up to it. It was really that was Torah, and in a sense that we've got this idea here that the tznius of the way Torah is taught. So Rashi's comment that shekoved haTorah b'tzina v'lo lihi yosyoshev v'shoneh begova shulir. That's the kovod. The kovod is not in the bright lights. The kovod is not in the big PR aspects of it. The COVID is that it's quiet and you've got to go and seek it out and you've got to find the right place. You've got to find the right person. You've got to convince the person to teach you Torah. Does that mean that you're going to have vast numbers of people? No, you're not. The great yeshiva of Brisk until very recently used to have how many Talmidim? Today, Mir Yeshiva has thousands of Talmidim. Ponovich has thousands of Talmidim. The Brisk used to have 25, then they increased it to 50.
Right.
And that was it. 25 was the limit, and that was a big thing. The Briskerov moved it up to 50 and gave his shiur twice in one day. Repeated the shiur so he could have 25 and 25. But that was it. It was 50. So there's always there's traditionally been a sense until very recently, and it was part of the Baal Teshuva movement where all of a sudden there was what is the idea of making by missionarizing. Once you start missionarizing in whatever form, so the positive of it has been that vast numbers of people have become involved in the learning of Torah. The disadvantage is there's been a diminishment in many ways of the kovod haTorah. So let's learn and understand the piece of Gemara. So the idea of tznius here is not to hide it away because it's not valuable, but to make it tsanua because it is. One of the examples that I often give is the way that we present things, the way we wrap things up. So if you go and buy something very valuable from a jewelry store, they put it in a beautiful box and they wrap it up, they hide it. And if you want to give a gift to somebody, you hide it. There is covered in hiding. There is beauty in hiding. If one does it in a way that is alluring and that is mysterious. And we put effort into it. We understand that. In some areas of our lives, we understand that. But when it comes to Torah, our tendency is to remove the tznius from Torah, and so we're told no, like chamuke yirochech, the beauty of Torah is in having to penetrate it. The beauty of Torah is into having to reveal it. The beauty of Torah is into having to access it, and to work through that process of accessing the Torah rather than making it very, very available. So we're in a very paradoxical situation. The availability of Torah that there now is in terms of whether it's Ark Scroll or whether it's the various facilities that are available on the internet and elsewhere, where you can just access whatever you want. You can get Kabbalah and in English explained in any way that you want or any language you want. The whole of Shas, and it's all available. That's great. That's made it accessible, but in that very accessibility, have we lost some of the soul is the question that we have to ask ourselves. And so he says that we even we learn that a kavachom atzmei aleches im Hashem elokecha, even in those things that have to be open, that are public, there's still a requirement to do it to some degree, but sinner. Weddings, look what we've made of weddings today. Weddings have become spectacles. They've become Hollywood productions. That's not atzmei aleches im Hashem elokecha. The intention is not that our simcha should be Hollywood productions. There should be a level of tzniyus with that as well, so that one has to actually access that, one has to get into that, one has to penetrate the soul of the simcha. You see, when you're dealing with a neshama of something, it's deep. And when you're dealing with something that's thrown at you, it's hard to get to the depth. The process, just think of the comparison of a gift that is given to you that is beautifully wrapped, and it takes you a little bit of time. First you look at it and you wonder what's in it, and then you admire it, and you open it and you unwrap it and you unbox it. The process is taking place. So by the time you actually see the object, there's already a whole process is taking place, and you're able to access it at a somewhat deeper level. And so it is with Torah, so it is with an idea. If there's a process involved in getting to it, there's a completely different ability to access it in its deepest way, rather than in its superficial way.
Okay? The analogy works with Shabbat too, you know what you're saying? Being preparing for the bride, same thing with preparation.
That there's anticipation, that there's a need to uncover. So let's go further. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Sorry, before we go there, Amesh, you made the point of the concentration. The Telzer Rolf talks about it in every mitzvah, and this was an important element of Lithuanian Yiddishkeit, was the focus on tznius and the caution of anything that lacked in tznius. And so all minhagim and even mitzvahs that were very visible, they used to be very cautious about it, and discouraged. There was there's an idea that we have in the Torah of yuhara, which is the danger that you're doing something and part of the motivation is to impress. And the Chavos Halavos talks about that as a form of avodah zara. So if in my subconscious or my semi-subconscious, in doing a particular mitzvah, I'm conscious of impressing another human being, what does that really say? Who am I serving? That's not just pure Avedas Hashem. That means there's an aspect of serving other people. That in my very Avedas Hashem, there's an aspect of serving other people. I'm doing this to attract a certain attention. I'm doing this to impress somebody. That doesn't mean that that's the only reason I'm doing it. But if there's an element of that as well, then the Chavos talks of that as a form of shituf, which is partnering God with another force. I'm doing this not only for God, I'm doing this also to be seen. The moment the to be seen impacts an action, there's a diminishment of purity. We spoke at the last year about the fact that kashrus is not only in what we eat, but that objects can be kosher or non-kosher, depending on where they come from, how honestly they've been earned, what they are, that we can attach kashrus to an object we spoke about last week. It's the same with an action. There are kosher actions and less kosher actions. And what detracts from the kashrus of an action is what its motivation is. What's driving the action? Why is one really doing it? And one has to be able to get that quite deep within oneself to question the why. Why am I really doing this? What is really driving me? And to be doing something that is betznius is much easier to do in purity than to do something that isn't in public. So we need to daven with a minyan, and davening with a minyan is a better quality davening than davening on one's own. But yet, one has to be careful too when one's davening in a minyan and one's davening for Hashem, and one's not davening for the people around. And so it is with the learning of Torah. And the Telzer Rov goes further and says it's not just a question of motivation, but also of distraction. That when there are people around, it's very difficult to be. You know where you'll see it. If you try, those of you who've practiced meditation, if you try meditating when there are people watching you, what happens? What immediately there's ego. Immediate, and that destroys it. It's almost impossible. Well, what does that say about we're supposed to be meditating when we do anything? Every mitzvah we do, there's an element of kavana. What kind of kavana can you really have when you're conscious of people watching? So there's an enormous value in seeking out the tznius. It's really just between God and me. It has nothing else to do with anybody else. And we want to try and do it in a way where that's the only element and the action. So Hatznei Alechisim Hashem Elokecha is a quality of action that we're losing so much of, and that is so core to the soul of what we're doing. And the Gemara then moves into another area of soul. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Gadol ha'oseh tzedakah yoseh mikol ha'korbanos. Doing tzedakah, giving charity, is greater than all the korbanos. So we learn about what the importance of sacrifices are. We daven that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we can connect to Hashem through our korbanos again. And today we don't have korbanos, and in every Musaf service, what do we say? One day we'll have korbanos again, and Shachris is for the korban tomid, and Minchas is for the korban tomid. And we're constantly aware of the fact that we don't have korbanos and of how great they are, and yet there are things we can do that are greater. And we've got a question, are we really sincere about our feeling the gap that we don't have korbanos, when there are korbanos we can bring today, and we're not doing them so great, such as tzedakah? And why is tzedakah greater than a korban? Well, firstly, it says so in Mefurish, there's a clear pasuk in Mishle, where it says, Asei tzedakah u'mishpot nivcha l'Hashem b'zevach. That one who does tzedakah and mishpat is more choice to Hashem than a sacrifice. So it's very clearly in Mishnah that the act of tzedakah is greater. Why is that? Because a korban is an image of sacrifice. We go through a ritual of sacrifice so that we can express the idea of sacrifice. But there's the opportunity of sacrifice, of true sacrifice, every day of our lives. So when we do something for Hashem, and it's only for Hashem, yeah, we come back and it's serious. If I'm doing something for other people, then it's not sacrifice. Then it's politics. But if I'm doing something that's only for Hashem, and it's costing me, and there are different forms of cost. If it's not costing me anything, it's not korban, it's not sacrifice. If it's costing me, but I'm getting yichas from it, other people are noticing, and I'm getting some public applause for it, then it's not sacrifice to Hashem. But if it's betznius, if it's something that only Hashem knows about, and it's cost me, and tzedakah is the biggest example of that, because it's so clear. Tzedakah costs money. You've got to put your hand in your pocket, you've got to take money out, and you've got to give it away. That's the sacrifice. But there's a sacrifice that we make in everything that we do. And we'll see the Gemara going on to examples of that. When our value system is tested, and there's a cost involved in living that value system, then that's when there's an area of sacrifice. And it's interesting that children pick that up, and almost everyone sees that in children. How often you'll see children developing a value system that is so different from what the parent wants the child to have. And where does that come from? And the kid will say, and the parent will often say, where did you learn that? And where did you see that? And one of the things that I try to teach parents is children learn from your sacrifices, not from your words. The child picks up, what did you make a sacrifice for? So for example, if a parent makes sacrifice for education, parent goes without vacation so that they can pay for the child's education. Parent goes without buying a new car so that they can pay for the child's education. What does the child learn from that? What do you think the child picks up from that?
The value of education.
The value of education?
Of the parent.
And I would say the value that what the child picks up is how important it is to educate your children. So that child will also make sacrifices for their child's education. But that doesn't mean that child will educate themselves in the process. When the parent sees a child, when the child sees a parent making a sacrifice for learning, that's different. So if a parent says, I'm doing this all for your education, then the child will do that for their child's education. When the child sees the parent making a sacrifice for their own education, for their own learning of Torah, the child will learn Torah too. There's subtle little things like that, that the child doesn't learn from what the parent says that the child wants. The child learns from the sacrifices the parent actually makes. That's the message. That's what really is the statement of value. And tzedakah is one of those, to talk about the importance of tzedakah, and the child doesn't learn about that. To teach the importance of tzedakah, the child learns from the sacrifice. To give tzedakah that isn't a sacrifice, you have a dollar here and a dollar there and an $18 there and an $18 here, and the child learns that. But to see a parent agonizing over, should I buy what I want, or should I address the tzedakah need, and for the child to participate in some of that dilemma and see how the parent manages that dilemma, that's something a child never forgets. In South Africa, in the days of the generation that came out from Eastern Europe, and the next generation, probably their children, used to make a big thing that when Rosh Yeshivas used to come, it's one of the amazing things there that South Africa, the non-frum people, have always been machzikei Torah. They've always given up vast amounts of tzedakah. The whole of Ponovich Yeshiva after the Second World War was built on charity that was given by South African Balabatim, who are not Shomer Shabbos even. They were just traditional Jews. And why? Because they used to make a thing of it. Whenever a Rav would come to collect charity, they would bring their children into the room. It became a family thing. If it was at the business and the child was in the business, they would call the child in. It was a ritual. If it was home, they would actually make times and make sure that the children were present when the tzedakah was discussed, when the tzedakah was given, so that it wasn't just telling the child I gave tzedakah or seeing a name on a plaque. It was a child actually participating in the process of giving charity. So tzedakah, you're talking about korbanos. Yes, a korban is great, but what is it about a korban that's so great? The idea of sacrifice, that's what a korban is. But a korban is only an idea. Remember, you buy a lamb and you bring it as a sacrifice, big deal, so you pay for a lamb. And sometimes not even that, sometimes it's communal sacrifices. You pay only for a very small part of the sacrifice. But what is the sense? That's just an expression of sacrifice. The real sacrifice is when our value system costs us time, costs us energy, and we have to make choices. And we make the choice for the value. In the case of tzedakah, we see it most clearly. That's the Godel Ha'isa Tzedakah, Yosemi Kol HaKorbonis. That's greater than all of the sacrifices. Omer Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, "Gedelo gemilus chasodim yose min tzedakah," and gemilus chesed is bigger even than tzedakah. So it's not just about giving money. Tzedakah is when you give money to a person in need. Chesed is emotional. Chesed is you help a person out, and it doesn't even have to cost money. So look where the Gemara is going from sacrifice, which is the ultimate of ritual. The Avodas Beis HaMikdash is the only part of the Torah that one could see some aspect of ritual in. If there's any ritual in Torah, it's in the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. We don't really fully understand, and it follows very set procedures, and one doesn't kind of get the human value involved in it. It's a ritual area. All the other mitzvahs are far more rational. And they look at the Gemara's movement saying, yes, korbanos are really important. The Rambam says it's one of the pillars the world rests on. But more important than that is tzedakah, and more important than tzedakah is chesed. That's our value system. That's what the Torah is built on. It's not about what meat we eat, and it's not about what yeshiva we send our kids to. Those are all around. Those are all secondary. The primary, the core of Torah is korban, the concept of sacrifice, manifesting in the concept of charity, manifesting even more in the concept of chesed. Why is that, Shneamar? Because there also we have pesukim. Ziru lochem litzedoko v'kitzru lefi chesed. V'kitzru lefi chesed. The Torah says, plant for yourselves for tzedoko and harvest according to chesed. Says the Gemara, what's the difference between planting and harvesting? In Adam Zorea, Sopek Oichel, Sopek Eino Oichel. When you plant, you're not sure that you're actually going to get results. You're investing. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Adam Koitzer, Vada Oichel, but when you harvest, you know for sure that you're getting results. So which is the better? Clearly harvesting is the better. So what we learn from that is, yes, tzedakah is great, but tzedakah, there's doubt, there's a question mark around tzedakah. But around chesed, there's clear value. Omar Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar added further, Ein tzedakah bishtalemes elo lefi chesed shebo. tzedakah only becomes fulfilled and satisfied in its criteria by the chesed in the tzedakah. And again, shenemar zaru lachem l'tzedakah v'kitzru l'fi chesed. Plant for yourself tzedakah, but the harvesting is in accordance with the amount of chesed that was invested in the tzedakah. Rashi explains, what is that? At the end of the first thick line of Rashi. Elo lufi gemilus chasodim shebo, says Rashi. Hanesino hi hatzedakah. The giving is tzedakah. So you take $20 out of your pocket and you give it to a poor person, that's the tzedakah portion. V'hatoyrach hu hachesed. But the thoughtfulness, the trouble you go to, is the chesed. Kigoin molicho lebeisa, you take it to the person's house. Or toreach shetale lo laharbe. Or you make sure that the person gets more value out of it. Kigoin neisen lo pasafuyo. So instead of giving him money, you figure out that if you gave him ready baked bread, you could give him more value for the same amount of money. Or beged lilbush. Well, instead of just giving him money, you'll go out and you'll buy an item of clothing for the person. You've got a contact, you can get the clothing more cheaply, so you've decided to give the person $100, but if you went and you bought clothing, you could get them $300 worth of clothing. That's thoughtfulness. Or mois be'eshatvu embetsuyo. Or to give him money at a time where produce is cheaper, is more available. Shelo yotzi mois of li'ibud. So that he doesn't know, you realize that he can't afford to buy the produce when it's cheap. He doesn't have the money, he doesn't have the cash flow, so he's going to land up having to buy it when it's expensive. So you give him the money when it's cheaper, or you lend him the money when it's cheaper, so that he can take advantage of the lower prices and he can stock up at a time that it's cheap. Shenesen liboy vedato letovoso shaloni. That you've applied two things. Liboy vedato. It's just so beautiful when you go through the sugya, you understand what the Torah is. The application of heart and mind to the needs of the oni, for the good of the oni. That's the chesed. And look how we give tzedakah. We turn tzedakah into a ritual. The whole process here is to say, korban is a ritual, but go beyond the ritual. Go to tzedakah. Don't make your tzedakah into a ritual. Go beyond the tzedakah and go into chesed. Because what we're trying to get to is the soul of the whole thing. And the soul of it is the transmission of feeling to the oni. It's not just the transmission of money to the oni. It's giving the oni a sense of companionship, a sense of value, a sense of caring, a sense of not being alone. Ziru lochem litzdoka, explains Rashi, hatzdoka hi hazirio shezorea kedei liktor. The tzedakah is what you're planting in order to harvest lekabel schar. V'kitzu lefi chesed, but you'll harvest according to the chesed. Shetekablu schar lefi hachesed shebo. Isn't this an astonishing Rashi? The reward for tzedakah is commensurate with the amount of chesed in the tzedakah, not with the size of the tzedakah. With the amount of chesed in the tzedakah. Sometimes that chesed translates into size. This person really needs a lot of money, but the reason you're now giving a lot of money is because you've applied your heart and mind to the oni's need, and in satisfying the need, you're giving the oni a lot of money. That's chesed shebo. But just to write the check, I'm going to give X amount of tzedakah this month. Who should I give to? Go down the list. Here's a check for this one, here's for this one, here's for this one. That's tzedakah. Fine. But the schar is going to come from the heart and the mind, the lev and das, that was put into the tzedakah. So we'll have a situation in Olam HaEmes where you'll see people who gave vast amounts of tzedakah who are not going to be getting credit. And you'll see little people who might have given small amounts of tzedakah, Hashem honors enormously. And you'll say, what's going on here? I gave so much to tzedakah. And Hashem says, Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. Didn't you learn it? Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. That the schar, the reward, is according, we're told how it works, the calculation. The reward is on the basis of the heart and the mind, and how much when we're talking about reward, it's not only reward in Olam Haba, it's reward in Olam Hazeh as well. What do you get the nachas from? You get the nachas from the thoughtfulness that you put in. You don't get the nachas just from the giving of money. That's not the nachas. The nachas is from the connection, from the thoughtfulness that goes into it. The It was interesting. Somebody was just telling me a story today. I didn't even connect it to the Gemara until now, about she wanted to give a few thousand dollars of stock to somebody and the person wouldn't take it and wouldn't accept it. So she worked out, she figured out what this person needed and realized that what she needed was a car. More than anything else, to be able to do her business and to know what she needed. She desperately needed a car and the woman wouldn't take it. So she went out and bought her a car. And the interesting thing is, the woman was not Jewish. And the woman called her family together and said, a miracle happened. Because she said, I know she was a very religious woman, this non-Jewish woman. She said, I never pray. I never ask God for favors. When I pray for other people. This last week, I've been praying for a car. I said to God, I've never asked you for anything. I need a car. And she said, I'm calling the family together. She called her family together. I just want you to understand the prayer works. I want you to understand that God hears and listens. And that one can talk to God. And then she took out the check and she for the car, with which she was meant to buy the car. But this person says to me, the pleasure I get every time I see that person driving the car, it's so much nachas. And that's the beauty of charity. Anything else we spend money on, the pleasure disappears quite quickly. The tzedakah that is thoughtful, that is mindful, it isn't so. The tzedakah that is mindful, you've spent the money, you've invested the money, but yet you're getting the nachas. You carry on getting the nachas all the time. But that's according to the amount of das and lev that goes into it. The more we invest das and lev, the more we invest our minds and our hearts in the act of tzedakah, the more schar, the reward is not just in olam haba, that the reward is in ourselves as well. That's the kind of tzedakah we need. It's not about the money. Hashem has other ways of getting money to poor people. It doesn't need us for that. But there's one thing Hashem, so to say, can't get to people. That's chesed. Once you get money to people, there are ways you can get money. People can win lotteries. People can do well in business. People can inherit. There are ways Hashem can get money to anybody he wants to get the money to. What he really needs us for is to give comfort to people, companionship to people, support to people. That's far more important. The Gemara goes on. Tanu Rabbanan, b'shloisha dvorim gedoyla gemilus chasodim yosei min atzdoka. So gemilus chasodim is greater than tzdoka in three areas. So look how great tzdoka is. Of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, korbanos is one of the greatest. There's no question about that. Look what, where we place korbanos in our avodah. Greater than korbanos, tzdoka. Greater than tzdoka, chesed. So chesed now dwarfs everything else. There's no mitzvah that comes close to chesed. Why in three areas is chesed greater than tzedakah? Tzedakah b'mamoino, k'vinus chasodim ben begufo ben b'mamoino. You can only do tzedakah with money. But chesed you can do with your being, you can do with your body, just with your mindfulness. It doesn't need money. So there's a limit to tzedakah. You can only do tzedakah with as much money as you have available for it. But there's no limit to chesed. Chesed doesn't come out of a finite resource. You can do chesed constantly. Tzedakah la'aniyim, you can only do tzedakah to somebody who's in financial need. Gemilus chasodim bein la'aniyim bein la'ashirim, you can do chesed to everybody. Tzedakah l'chaim, gemilus chasodim bein l'chaim bein l'meisim. Tzedakah you can only give to a living person. But chesed you can do to a dead person as well. You can do a chesed for a person who's no longer alive. And that counts as a chesed as well. So chesed is we could be doing that mitzvah, a mitzvah greater than tzedakah, which is greater than korbanos, all the time. There shouldn't be a moment in time that we aren't busy with chesed. Whether it's in the way we look at somebody, whether it's the way we speak to somebody, whatever form of engagement, there's no reason for us not to be involved in the mitzvah of chesed at any time of the day of our waking hours. V'omer Rabbi Elazar, kol ha'isa tzedakah u'mishpat ki'ilu milei kol ha'olam kulo chesed. If one does tzedakah and mishpat, again we've got those ideas of charity and justice together, it's as if you filled the world with chesed. Shene'emar oyhev tzedakah u'mishpat chesed Hashem mo'lo ha'oretz. If one loves tzedakah and mishpat, one has filled the world with the chesed of Hashem. Shema toimar kol habo likpots kofetz. Lest you might think that whoever wants to do tzedakah can do it, that it's so easy. But money you can do tzedakah, not so simple. Tanu loimar. Mayakar chastecho elikim. How precious, how valuable is your chesed, Hashem? What makes something valuable? In economics, what determines value? Scarcity. Yes, supply and demand. So if it says Mayakar chastecho elikim, what does that mean? There is a low supply. It's not so easy that chesed isn't in such high supply. What does it mean that chesed is not in such high supply? Why is chesed not in such high supply? Says Rashi, five lines from the bottom. Shema kol habo likpoitz. Do you think that anybody who wants to jump in, velasot tzedok of chesed, that a person wants to do tzedok and chesed, kofet, that he can just jump in, umaspikin, umamtsiin loy anoshim muhugonin lekach? Do you think it's automatic that whenever you want to do chesed or tzedakah, that you're going to find a person who's hogun? Because what do you need for chesed and tzedakah to count? The value of chesed and tzedakah is not now only in the heart and soul you put into it, but also who's the recipient. The more valuable the recipient is as a human being, the more valuable is the act of chesed. So you could have people who invest a lot of time and money in tzedakah of a chesed, but it's for the wrong people. It's not that valuable. And how do you know? One has to apply one's mind and invest effort to pursue tzedakah and chesed. Because it's not that easy to find the right people to do chesed and tzedakah for. Now that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it all the time to all people. That's fine. Do a little bit of tzedakah and chesed to everybody. But the ability to really choose a great cause, whether it's an individual human being or a cause that one is supporting and investing, there's no reason to put less attention into that than when we invest money in an investment. You decide you're going to put some money into the stock exchange, you do some research. You try and find a company that's going to give you returns. If you're going to invest money in a property, you do some research. You try and find the property that's going to give you returns. It's the same with chesed and tzedakah. You want chesed and tzedakah that's going to give you a return, that's going to give you the nachas, both in olam hazeh and olam habo. That means that the object of the chesed and tzedakah has to be something valuable, has to be something worthwhile. And for that one needs siyata dishmaya. So Baal Chesed davens for that. He davens to the Ribbono Shel, please help me, the Ribbono Shel, find opportunities for valuable chesed and tzedakah. Bring me those opportunities. I have two people standing in shul. One person's davening, bring me business opportunity. And another one's davening, bring me opportunity for chesed and tzedakah. I want to do chesed and tzedakah, but I want to do it in a way that is meaningful, in a way that is valuable. Because there are people who've given vast amounts of money to nothing. There are people who've done chesed to unworthy people. That doesn't have the same value by any means of a person who's able to invest their chesed and tzedakah in objects and in people of great value. Says the Gemara, does that apply? Yochel af yore shemayim kein? Does that apply even to a Yorei Shemayim? If a person is a genuine Yorei Shemayim, is it that hard to find good objects of chesed? Talmud Lomer, v'chaste Hashem me'olam v'ad, ad olam al yireyov. Hashem's chesed is all the time looking out for his yireyim, for those who fear him. And what is Hashem's chesed? To provide us with opportunities for our chesed. That's Hashem's chesed. When Hashem brings us worthy opportunities, that's Hashem's chesed. I imagine situations how often it must happen in a day, probably, that Hashem brings us opportunities, and we don't even notice. That we don't. If we go through our day looking out and saying, imagine that you start your day, one of the important things of davening in the morning is that you ask Hashem for the things that are important to you that day, so that you'll notice them when He brings them to you. If you don't ask for it, you don't notice it when He brings it to you. So that's one of the reasons that tefillah is really important. Choose every day. Shachris time, choose what you want for that day. What do you want Hashem to help you with that day? And then keep your eyes open and watch. And if we mispalel a Yorei Shemayim, we'll pray in the morning for that Hashem should help him find opportunities for tzedakah and chesed. And then you keep your eyes open. And you find all sorts of opportunities to uplift people, to encourage people, to be kind to people, to invest in people. Omar Rabbi Chama bar Papo. What is a Yorei Shemayim? So, without even going further, how do you think the Gemara is going to define a Yorei Shemayim? How do you know whether a person is a Yorei Shemayim? Answers the Gemara, answers Rav Popper. Kol Odom Sheyesh Olov Chayn B'yadua Shehu Yorei Shemayim. Anybody who's got Chayn. Chen is a very hard word to translate, but you kind of know what it is. An aura of beauty, of attractiveness, of... there just isn't a word for it. It's a special kind of aura.
Inner beauty?
Around the person. It's an inner beauty, it's a peace, it's a tranquility, it's an attractiveness, it's a sanctity. Chen is a quality. And that is the manifestation of Yirat Shamayim. And you realize that, you look at a lot of frum people and you say, you know what, they look frum, but chen, difficult to use. That's not Yirat Shamayim. You might look at a lot of people who are not that frum and they have chen. You understand? There's an element of Yirat Shamayim in those people. The linkage between Chayin and Yirat Shamayim, this piece of Gemara is just so amazing. Because the Gemara is unwrapping the core value system of Torah in this piece of Gemara. What it's all about. And it's so different from what one would expect it to be. What is it all about? At the core is Korban. Go deeper than Korban. Tzedakah. Go deeper than Tzedakah. Chesed. What is chesed? Chesed is the heart and soul you put into an act of giving. Tzedakah is valued by how much chesed you put into it. Chesed is also a manifestation of the object who you're doing it to. Are you doing it to those people that will give you the biggest credit? Or are you giving to those people who are the most worthy and valuable? How do you find those people? You need Siyata Dishmaya for that. How do you get Siyata Dishmaya? By being a Yoreh Shamayim. What is a Yoreh Shamayim? Person with chen. Because with chen, what is the essence of Yirat Shamayim? With Yirat Shamayim is, there's nobody who can hurt me, there's nobody who can do me good, there's nobody who can damage me. Yirat Shamayim is Hashem's in control. Chen is what you feel when you're with a person who invests a lot of effort in their life, but doesn't take credit for the outcome. That's chen. A person who doesn't invest any effort in their life is a dropout. A person who invests effort and believes they have control out of outcome, that's egoistic and arrogant. Chen is when you have a person who puts a lot of effort in and then sits back and says, Hashem is in control. So there's no competitiveness, there's no aggression, there's focus, there's giving, there's generosity, there's openness, but there isn't competitiveness and aggressiveness because there you have this Yirat Shamayim. That's chen. So with that chen comes the Yirat Shamayim, with the Yirat Shamayim comes the Siyata Dishmaya to encounter people who are worthy of chesed. That creates the opportunity for chesed. You have the whole value system. You have a description of what a Torah person is, what a mentor is. And of course, if one's a Yoreh Shamayim, you carry out Hashem's will, so all the mitzvahs are part of that. But the core, what drives it all, is this. This is the driver of the whole system. V'omar shenema, as it says, Chesed Hashem me'olam va'ad olam al yireyov. Hashem Chesed is on his yireyim. V'omar Rabbi Elazar, Mai dichtiv pio poscho b'chokma v'soyas Chesed al l'shoyna. What does it mean? We say in Eishes Chayil every Friday night, pio poscho b'chokma, she opens her mouth with wisdom, v'toras Chesed al l'shoyna. And there's Torah of Chesed on her tongue. Ask the Gemara, v'chi yesh Torah shel Chesed v'yesh Torah she'eino shel Chesed? What is Torah's Chesed? Does that imply some Torah is Torah's Chesed and some Torah is not Torah's Chesed? Ela Torah lishmo zuhi Torah shel Chesed. Shelo lishmo zuhi Torah she'eino shel Chesed. First thing of Chesed is Torah which has no ulterior motive. I'm just learning it because it's Torah. I'm learning it because it's God's word. That's Torah shel Chesed. When there are ulterior motives, it's not Chesed. Then it's for me. If there's ego involved, there isn't Chesed. Chesed is the opposite of ego. Chesed is when that's where chen and chesed come in. Chesed is when there isn't ego, when the concern is with something outside of you. So when you're learning Torah and your total concern is outside of you, that's Torah's chesed. When you're learning Torah and the concern is yourself, that's not your chesed. Ikad amri, Torah lelamdo zuhi Torah shel chesed, shelo lelamdo zuhi Torah she'eino shel chesed. When you're learning Torah and you want to share that Torah and you want to teach that Torah, you're learning Torah in order to be able to make a contribution with that knowledge, that's Torah Shel Chesed. And if you're learning the Torah just to be able to keep it to oneself, that's Torah She'eino Shel Chesed. So here we have in this little piece of Gemara, as I said, it's not a Londish piece of Gemara, I just decided to select tonight because it's so, each line of it, if you kind of anticipate what you expect the next line to be, it's so different from what one expects And yes, we hear this chesed is important, but this is not just about chesed being important. This is not just a piece going on about chesed and tzedakah. It's the centrality of it. That defines the human being. At the end of the day, that defines the Torah we're learning, that defines the Avodas Hashem, and then one can understand the importance of tzinius. If it's all about chesed, chesed, we said, is the absence of ego. There's only one time you can be sure there's no ego, and that's when there's tzinius. As long as there's not tzinius, there's always there's an audience. When there's an audience, it's very hard for there not to be any ego at all, and it's almost impossible. When there's not an audience, there's a possibility. And that's the value of Torah that is done with tzinius, Torah that is done quietly and without any kind of need for reaction from anybody outside of oneself. We're doing it for ourselves, for our relationship with Hashem, for our love of the Torah, and that's it. There is nothing else beyond that. That's Torah Shel Chesed, and that's Torah Shel Tznius. That's this piece of the moral.
Sure.
Sure.